borrow somebody else's to go down the elevator with my little one.
Yep, she did.
Thank you, Bill.
You probably dropped her off at the door, Kelly, so.
Good morning.
She should share it with you.
Do you know, I finally had an opportunity for all these years.
Her choice of the snacks.
Oh.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm late.
One, two reverses.
He was the paid sub.
What?
Wow.
Well, good.
It was fun. It was
so
like,
you
wow.
played with him as a bass player.
And I paid attention to Jack's behavior in the rehearsal setting. Hi.
I just was telling them I was late.
Hello again.
Oh, good morning, Chandra.
Oh, I can't hear you good.
You can or cannot?
I am able to hear you well.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm glad you're in recovery.
Yeah, me too.
You look fabulous.
Thank you. I feel pretty good. Especially in the morning. Take a nap around one.
All right.
So, yeah, people have to learn to stop at stop signs.
Somebody plowed into you?
About 45 miles an hour. Before I stopped. And, you know, I stopped and I was a little preoccupied. I was going to my usual exercise class and no one was at the stop sign, so I didn't look far down.
Right. Well, why would you?
Normally, you wouldn't.
Why would you?
It was Devonshire and Prospect. I was heading east. They were heading south. And
I do that corner all the time.
They hit me so close fast to my home, that they hit me twice. The front of my car, the side of, front side of my car, and my car turned immediately and hit the back car, and I ended up in the church grass.
Wow. I go through that area all the time.
I was suddenly heading north.
Were you going east?
I was
going
east.
They were
going
way too fast.
Yeah, they're being prosecuted by the police.
Oh,
you know, they were also uninsured.
Of course.
You know, it's just been an interesting process dealing with insurance.
Yeah.
It'll work out.
But more of a headache on top of your headache and rib ache and
yeah,
brain fog and all of that stuff.
Well, Susan,
so, but, you know, I'm lucky. I'm really lucky. I have a new Subaru. Totaled my old Subaru.
Well, they say Subarus are one of the safer cars.
For that kind of a crash, a T-bone crash, it really apparently has the strongest.
Yeah.
Really?
I've heard that.
Yeah. So I guess I'm, you know, this is my third Subaru.
Oh, yeah.
Started noticing some things about those dynamics in those rooms. Do you see that? You have to do it.
Well, I'm there every Thursday. I usually go by and see if he's in his office, and I do my little rounds and see whoever's in their office.
Recording in progress.
I'm going to call the meeting to order. It looks like we might even have a quorum here. Can we have a roll call?
Susan Fowler.
Here.
Neil Sharma.
Here.
Diane Gordon.
Here.
Kim Fisher.
Here.
Ann Robin.
Here. Welcome, everybody. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda, please?
Oh, motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, I should have asked for discussion, but okay. So we're going to skip. Do we need any comments about schedules and timelines? Everything is pretty clear.
They're posted. What's in your agenda are links to web pages. Now we've set up individual web pages for the meeting schedules as well as for the glossary. This might not be super convenient for you, so I also started trying, and last month I failed, to put the upcoming meetings at the bottom of the agenda. And the first of those upcoming meetings is listed as tentative, so that's something that toward the end of the meeting you might want to discuss whether to keep or not keep the August 26th meeting.
Thank you, Lynn. Is there any citizen input or public participation at this time? Anybody online? Okay, I have no comments. This is Chairperson's comments. I have no comments other than welcome. Thank you for being here, and I think we'll have a good meeting today. Lynn?
Well, unfortunately, I have a comment. Mainly, you know, we'll be talking about some of the items in the board packet later, so I'll save comments related to that for later. But last week, something happened. Isn't Facebook a treasure trove of information? Some people that I know who live in Southern Illinois were very upset about losing their jobs at Shoat State Operated Developmental Center. Yay! So they were complaining about that and about the governor, and I was like, this might be the best day of my professional life. That I read the letter, you know, telling them about the change. So what's happening at Shoat is they're closing down the DD beds. Yay! So some of our colleagues are saying, well, great, but six more to go. And I know that's true, but just seeing how long this took and how much advocacy and how many people got hurt, right, and how much attention it took to horrible stories that people with disabilities and their parents shouldn't even have to hear. That's what it took to get this one closed. So I was really celebrating. I was very, very excited. The other piece of it that's interesting is they've the forensic beds for people who have mental health concerns and may languish in jails for longer than the statutory limit of 90 days. They do languish in jails, Champaign County Jail being one of the four top ones, because there aren't enough forensic beds for those folks. So some of the mental health beds at SHOW are being transferred to one of the facilities closer to here, which will be very helpful. Like increasing capacity closer to home is good for everybody. So there was two pieces of, and it's actually something I had advocated for. So I was so excited that I literally texted the director of the state's behavioral health agency and told him thank you. And anyway, I just thought you guys should also know this and feel, you know, permission to celebrate if you like. Because
what was the I'm like apparently living under a rock. What was the situation that happened?
Well, to some of the folks that are losing their jobs in Southern Illinois, I would say, you know, maybe you shouldn't have hit people so hard that they died, right? Like, this is what was going on there. Very severe maltreatment.
That. Yeah. Where was this? Yeah.
It's just part of the problem of still having institutions in Illinois. We're one of the last states to maintain the level of institutionalization that we do, and it's really problematic for the quality of care.
Yeah. That's like one of the motivators for being on this board was my experiences in Chicago with some of those. It's a tough situation. You can't blame just like necessarily all the providers at these places too, but I don't know about Shoats. It sounds like people were being beat up.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I think you're right. It's possibly much more complicated, but the horrible stories that it took to turn the corner on this one, just that we shouldn't need to do that. But I've also noticed something that might be kind of interesting. Just when the Federal Department of Justice says institutionalization is okay, states should be able to go back to institutional care, it's almost like some of the states are saying, no, we're not going to do that. I'm like, maybe this is what it took for Illinois to really commit to moving people into community-based care, because it seems, isn't that weird? Like, so all we had to do was a little magic trick. Still terrible, and we may end up talking about that later in the meeting. But just, like, really, to me, just like really, really good news on a personal and professional level. And I know many of you have been involved in those fights. So
thank you, Lynn. Approval of the board meeting minutes. And because we didn't have a quorum last month, we have minutes for the May meeting. So I would like to just separate them. So we'll do the May meeting first.
Move to approve the minutes of the May meeting.
Second.
Any discussion about the minutes? That's a big one because that's our allocations. Everything look okay?
Very thorough.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, now for the... Yes, your microphone cut off.
My microphone cut off. Okay, well, it just does that. Now the minutes of the June meeting, which was an information-only meeting, but we still have minutes.
Move to approve as a remote visitor to the site.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. And, you know, about the June meeting, I was just thinking about that and reading through the minutes. Thank you for participating online, both of you that did. It was just, we just didn't have enough people in this room to vote you in, which was, I was like, maybe something needs to be done about that little regulation, but we're going to adhere to the regulations. So now we've got the vendor invoice list, which is rather extensive. Motion to approve.
I move to approve.
Second.
Any comments about the vendor invoice list?
I have one question. It's unusual to see reimbursement for mattress, and I just wanted clarification on why we were paying for a mattress.
Well, I am so glad that you asked, because it will actually connect to business later in this meeting.
Okay.
So the Special Initiatives Fund was set up to manage two group homes. And the reason it was set up is that the Mental Health Board has certain magical powers and the DD Board has other magical powers. And between the two of them, they had all of the authorities needed to purchase and manage homes. This, you know, separately, it was a little more complicated. So the other thing that ended up in the Special Initiatives Fund, because it happened around the same time, was a sizable donation to on behalf of one person. It was from a private donor. It was set up as a trust fund with, we're managing the trust. We have to review the requests. The purpose of the fund was to make sure that this person could continue to live in a small group home and not institution. And so after many adjustments, there were some big purchases at first to make sure they were safe, and then nothing for the last 4 or 5 years. So you haven't seen anything like that for many, many years. That's the trust fund. It's this purchase comes very close to exhausting all that's left there, and they have told us they will be able to use the other, I think it's 12 or 1500 left by the end of this year. This gives us an opportunity to eliminate the Special Initiatives Fund, which we will get to later. But anyway, it is, you haven't seen that in years and years and years. And probably what they purchased before were like items related to safety, not health. But eventually a mattress relates to health. So we thought it was a fine purchase. Anyway.
I figured you'd have an answer. It just stood out. So I wanted Chris to know I looked at it.
So speaking of Chris, he has, like, I think we all were fine with that format, but he has come up with an even more readable format for the future reports. Kim helped him develop it, but we're very excited that the next time you see reports from Chris, they'll be even better to look at. So yay, Kim.
I'm sorry, was that was moved by Susan? Kim, did you, who seconded?
I think it was, didn't you second it?
I don't know.
Yeah, you did.
I'll second it.
I'm not, okay, I'm sorry.
No one knows.
Any further discussion? Okay, I think we can just do this by acclamation. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, once again, thank you for your brilliant staff reports. It's so much fun reading the work that other people are doing. And some of you, I'm looking at you, Lynn, I don't know how you manage to do anything because you spend so much time reporting on what you do. Yes. But
I don't give you a report every month like all the rest of the team does, so you're getting like the sort of like the
I'm
info
exhausted
dump.
Reading it, but it's good. It's all good stuff. Okay, so we're into new business, and we have officer elections. And I actually reread the bylaws while I was preparing for this meeting. We have to elect officers every year. The president and the secretary can only serve as those positions for 3 years. And I don't remember when I took over as president. Was the official.
Yeah, December or January.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're a little bit off cycle because of the Vicki leaving. Yeah. But I was elected last year. So I don't know if I have two more years or another year and a half that I can.
I think because, so you had been the secretary, vice president.
Yeah.
So you would be the acting president anyway, even if you had not held a special election. We needed a special election because we needed a secretary, vice president. We needed to have two officers for the workload and for to keep me on track. So I think it's okay to treat whatever, if you are president from today for the next year, I think that's all right because functionally what you were doing was completing the other term.
Okay, so I've got either one more year or two more years, depending. Are you a year and a half or 2 years, depending on how we interpret it?
Two.
Okay, whatever.
And we do have to have annual elections, even though traditionally officers serve for 2 or 3 years. Yeah.
Okay. So we've got a little bit of time, and I'm willing to do it for another year. So. Neil, are you willing to serve for another year in your demanding position as second in command?
Yeah.
Well, you never know. You could have to take over at any moment.
I take you mental notes every day.
Is there anybody that wants to step up and take either of these positions? Everybody's silent. So, I think we need a motion.
I move to recommend that Ann Robin continue as president for another year and that her second in command be Dr. Neil Sharma, Dr. Robin and Dr. Sharma for president and secretary. It's gone really well this year. Thank you for your service.
Now second.
Any comments? Okay, we've got two people up. We're doing a twofer here. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Neil, it's you and me for another year. Hey, I think I'm doing pretty good at signing those things in a timely fashion, huh?
You are.
And we might have one today.
My downfall is email. I can't keep up with email.
Yeah.
It's my nemesis, always will be.
We will potentially have later today or tomorrow something for you to sign. Maybe. We'll see how this meeting goes first.
Okay. So the next item is the draft RFP for evaluation capacity building project. And there is a decision memorandum.
Budget.
Oh, wait.
Budget first. 43.
Oh, my gosh. I had budget circled and question marks and everything, and I just skipped right over it. How could I do that? Okay, we have draft 2027 budgets, pages 43 to 58, and I think the memorandum or the
decision memorandum is on page 44. And there are three of them, and I think we should take them in order.
Or just because I can't, if something is real straightforward and simple, I'm your guy for making it complicated. So these might be better taken in the order of first one, third one, and then second one. Just because the discussion you and I had yesterday relates to that. We can talk about that in a minute, but just I apologize for not thinking of it when I was putting the memo together.
So were you suggesting we do the third one first?
No, 1-3-2. Yeah.
1-3-2. Okay.
I mean, you could do 3-1-2. That's also logical, but I wouldn't know.
Okay, we're going to do number one first, okay. And I will read it. This is a motion to approve the attached draft 2027 CCDDB budget with anticipated revenues and expenditures of $5,829,835.
Second.
Now, since this involves money, do we need a roll call? Is there any further discussion about this? Any questions about the draft? Okay, then let's do a roll call.
Diane Gordon?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes. The motion passes. Okay, we'll jump down to the bottom, and this one might need a little bit of explanation. This is a motion to approve amending the 2026 IDDD Special Initiatives and CCDDB fund budgets to transfer the remaining IDDSI fund balance in equal amounts to CCDDB and CCMHB funds at the end of 2026. Use of this fund is consistent with the terms of intergovernmental agreement between CCDDB and CCMHB. Full approval will be contingent on CCMHB action.
Move to approve.
Are you, I just read it, so I made the motion.
Oh, a second.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Lynn, do you want to give us a little bit of a brief explanation about this?
So,
please.
We talked about it during the allocation process, too, that it might be good to have a little bit more cushion in the DD board fund balance. This summer, we hit the wall with the mental health board fund balance, not the DD board fund balance. So there was a period of time where agencies were waiting for payments much longer than they should have. It did affect the DD board agencies too, but the fund balance problem wasn't as bad. That convinced me that it is probably good to move the money out of special initiatives where it's not doing anything. And the DD board and the mental health board have many collaborations already established, and they don't need the special initiatives fund to do those things. We just need to ask each board separately for their approval, and we need to be responsible for the cost split. So the fund has no real reason to exist anymore, except that it holds that individual trust fund. And when those people said we may be able to spend the rest of this during 2026, I talked to the finance department director about clearing out the fund next year. And he said, no, do it this year. And so we're like, okay, we'll look at the very end of the year, whatever's left in there. Per the original agreement between the two boards, you just split it. And then it would help you pay the bills this year and in the future by having a little bit. It's not a huge amount. My estimate right now is $155,393 each, but that depends on interest income which we don't know yet what it'll be, and it's not deposited at a predictable time. So the reason, so that's the reason for doing that this year, is that we can, if we wait till the end of the year, with your permission, the mental health board's permission, and the county board's authorization, we can move that money out of special initiatives and into each of the main funds. And that's, yeah.
Susan, you have a question.
Yeah, so just to refresh my memory, is this the money that was accrued when we sold the two group homes? And then, again, to refresh my memory, I think DSC included in one of their proposals the opportunity to fund some special requests from individuals. Does that take the place of?
So it's, DSC does a little bit of that, and regional planning does a little bit of that too. The regional planning did it for 2 years under the special initiatives.
Okay.
And then they're absorbing some of it because the full request was not funded. Most of the request was funded. So they can still do some of it, but, you know, yeah. Yes, that's special assistance, short-term supports.
So if there is a need for special assistance, short-term support, there's still the option to go to the DSC.
Regional planning.
Or regional planning.
More ability to do
Okay, more ability. Yeah. Okay, but we're eliminating the funds, so regional planning won't have that ability, or they still will?
They do. They have it through DD board funds.
Through DD board funds, a separate source of funds.
Yeah.
So this is really something to increase the financial stability of both boards and to reduce confusion?
Yeah.
Would that be a fair summary? Okay.
Yeah, I think that's – thank you, because that I hadn't thought about the second point, but that's true also. Yeah.
So my question is, on page 3, the special initiatives fund budget – those zero numbers, you want to explain that to me just
a
little bit?
Well, that'll be the next motion that we ask you to make, and that is, this is DDB budget. The having a null fund where no money's coming in and no money's going out might be required by the independent auditor. The finance department chair has just texted me. He wants to talk today. He was going to ask them what's required. I know that for any fund that uses federal dollars, you have to keep it for 3 years with zero in and zero out. We may not need to keep it at all, but this is a precaution. If you do need to keep it, it's just recorded with nothing in and nothing out.
Okay, so this is assuming that we do the transfer. This would be just to keep it in name.
Yes.
That does not help my confusion any.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so the recommendation from Lynn is that we do this fund transfer, and I was looking for a number for approximately how much money it is, and it looks like it's approximately $155,000 for each board, which is increases the amount of money that we have to disperse to the agencies and programs that we have approved. So we'd be using it for those purposes.
That just raises a second question. So if we needed additional money this year, we would spend it and then it's gone, or it's a cushion that we hold on to for a couple of years, or both?
Well, it's going to probably, okay. There are a few months left in the year. I can't guarantee what will happen, but if everything, every obligation is paid out as budgeted, you will need a little bit of it this year. That never happens. So, but I don't, as soon as I say never, then here comes the universe to teach me a lesson. So, if, you know, it could be more than $155,000, but the reason to do this is mostly that your fund balance needs to be pretty high at January 1. And it's sort of conspicuous when I go to talk to the county about it. It sort of stands out as like, why don't you spend all this fund balance? Well, the thing is, we do. Between the two boards, over 90% of these funds go out on agency contracts, which are paid out every month. And you don't get any money until June or July. So whatever you've got in January needs to get us through till June or July. And then the promise to everyone is that we would have 6 months in reserve just in case something goes wrong at that point. And that includes shutting down our operations. If something went wrong, we'd need to, you know, manage our... Our records would have to go somewhere. It would take some time for us all to be laid off. I guess that's what we would be doing. So anyway, that's all doomsday stuff. But that's what a fund balance is for. And we really did have a crisis this year. We couldn't pay people for May and June until almost, it was July. We had the new contract set up and ready to go. And that's not okay. So there are a couple of things we're trying to do to protect them in the future from that. One is encouraging direct deposit of checks. To take that'll snap a week of time off, because as you all know, the mail, you didn't even get it. Oh my God, there are extras. Okay, but anyway, that's affecting them too. So there's little things that we can do, and then the bigger thing is, can we advocate for adequate fund balance and then hold it? Because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you do want to purchase. So I'm not saying you have to save it. I'm just saying it would probably be better for you to have access to it, to save it or spend it.
Any further discussion? This is all useful information. Do we need a roll call for this? Let's do a roll call. Just, I don't know if we do or not, but let's do it. Okay.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Diane Gordon?
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes. The motion passes. So the middle one is to approve the continued existence of this fund with a zero balance just on paper, because some financial person who knows more about it than I do says it might be required for audit purposes, which I don't understand.
Yeah. There are also adjustments. The county is finished with 2024. Now they're working on 2025. So there are adjustments that occur later that sometimes result in deposits. So you could end up having some money going in 2027. Okay. And I would just bring that to your attention and we'd deal with it at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So for real reasons having to do with finances, this seems like a good idea. So this is a motion to approve the attached draft 2027 IDD Special Initiatives Fund Budget with anticipated revenues and expenditures of zero. Use of this fund is consistent with the terms of intergovernmental agreement between CCDDB, CCMHB, and full approval is contingent on CCMHB action. That's the motion.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Do we need a roll call for this?
Yes.
Okay, let's do that.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Neil Sharma?
Yes.
Diane Gordon?
Yes.
Kim Fisher?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes. The motion passes. Okay, good job, folks. That was excellent. Good work. And I don't know why my eyes skipped over that in the agenda. Okay, so now we have the draft RFP for the evaluation capacity building project, and that will be the draft motion is on page 60. Yeah, so there's some discussion, and then there's the request for proposals, what it looks like, and then there's the motion. So I will move to approve the attached request for proposals evaluation capacity building project for the County of Champaign.
Second.
Discussion. Susan?
I was so impressed by how well written and thorough this was. I've written a lot of grants in my lifetime, and I used to oversee grant processes at the federal level. And I thought this was better than most grant RFPs I've read. It was really clear. And it also had some nice contingencies. So I was gobsmacked.
Thank you for those comments. Any other comments? Well, I have one that's, I think, kind of a no-brainer. I think I speak for all of us when I say we've been extremely happy with the evaluation capacity project done by the Family Resiliency, and I feel, you know, honored to be associated with them, and they've been great. And I'm kind of, it's kind of weird that they have to apply for the position again, but I think it's required under the regulations that we have to put this out there. So if anybody is listening, I certainly hope that they are ready with their proposal, and we will be very happy to consider it. They set a high bar for anybody else. Anybody else wants to come up to that high bar, good for them. That's my comments. Okay, so this we can just do by voice. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Oh, wait.
Neil seconded it.
Can you believe I?
Oh, never mind. I had that. Sorry.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes. We will go ahead with the RFP.
We kind of, originally Stephanie and I were talking about, well, we could release it July 31st. But we decided to kind of slow it down a little bit just in case the board members had any changes they wanted. So the issue date is August 21st. There's a description in there of where it's published, and the timeline that follows is designed to, you know, hopefully, if there is a high quality application and you all choose to fund it, and the Mental Health Board chooses to fund it, that we could have a contract to start May 1st, so which is one day after the current contract ends. And this is based on legal advice that came from a 1935 precedent about how long agreements should stand in Illinois county government. 4 years. Yeah. 1935.
Okay, the next item is setting the stage for 2027 and program year 2028. This is an information briefing memorandum. Any discussion about this? Something we can refer back to. It's good to get it in print, good to get it out there. All right, we're on to old business, emerging threats. Kim, you're keeping us up to date as well as possible.
A few things that folks already kind of know about and something that is kind of reaching back from what we've done before. So as we know, the Department of Justice has says they're not, that Olmstead is just a court decision, basically. It is not statute. So that it is not recommending that states follow Olmstead. The Olmstead decision, which said that state government should look to provide services in the community for folks rather than institutions. So there's lots of advocacy going on. Call all your your electeds, organizations that are, you know, if you're looking to take action, American Association of People with Disabilities, the ARC, obviously, of the U.S. and Illinois here. But this is really terrible, along with way back when, remember we talked about, like, there were like 16 states fighting the Section 504.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 8 states did drop out, but now the remaining eight states are kind of reigniting their fight against Section 504 and bringing along Olmstead. So it is to basically say, one, we don't have to provide service, states don't have to provide services for folks in the community, and Section 504, which is how many people get their accommodations in education and in the workplace, does not need to be followed. So a good place to follow updates and advocacy is DREDF.org. That's an acronym. I don't remember what the it's a disability advocacy organization. So, but they are giving rapid updates on how to take action, as well as updates, very clear updates on the processes. So, it is just attack upon attack upon attack on disabled people in this country. So, it's very terrible. I would just also, I know that we've talked about ICE before, you know, the TPS status for Haitians and Syrians, I believe, was revoked. Mm-hmm. And so there is a call for increased, there's been reports of a plan for increased ICE operations. So I think in the county board last week there was discussions in public comment about that. So we should just be aware that obviously disabled people in our community are even more at risk for those things. So, and then the last thing is we had that pledge, remember, the resolution that passed. So we finally had a meeting. It was an awesome meeting. So I'm just going to end with a hugely positive thing. And these are like the small actions I think that we can do as a community. So Monday we met with, it was Kelly Martin, Lindsay Anderson, both from DSC, myself, Edgar here? What?
Hi, Horsak.
Thank you. Hi, Horsak. And Becca Obachkowski, Hannah Sheets, and Rachel Viscuso from Community Choices. So all of us met to talk about the pledge and like what are the next steps that they want to do, the folks that they work with, the advocacy groups and stuff. So we have a really great plan. Yes. So essentially they're going to work with their respective advocacy groups to talk about the pledge, like kind of go through like what does it mean, what are some specific actions that can be taken, and then work together, Community Choices and DSC's advocates, and they're going to talk about a plan for actually presenting this pledge to different public institutions, so like the city councils and MTD's board, that kind of thing. So they're going to be working over the next 6 weeks, and they're going to present their stuff at our joint meeting. So yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. And so, and then kind of like over maybe the next year, a potential plan is actually reading the pledge at public meetings and having a group of people taking turns for their 3 minutes into reading the pledge and asking boards to say, would you take this on. So yeah, I mean, it was just the most productive hour. And I think a couple of us were on vacation the week before and then came back and we were like, wow, this is like our first meeting. It was really great. So that was, sorry to start my comment as a real negative, but it brought joy to my week. So thank you for the partnership. And the board, me as a board member, I asked them what they wanted my role to be, would just be to like kind of be the voice here at the public board, but also like connecting with other boards as I, you know, just supporting their work. So yeah.
Great. So congratulations.
Thank you for that. Do we have any input from people with IDD? Do we have an update on Engage Illinois?
Yes, Engage Illinois has been pretty active in terms of presenting its message through the DD community, and there was a meeting earlier this month with the D DD, IDHS DD folks to talk about the study that engages engaging in, which is to look at the barriers for two families who are using community-based supports through the home-based waiver system, and how that is more difficult than they're trying to move towards a more flexible SILA, and they're documenting all of the concerns that exist that are currently present when you're trying to use the HBSW. So I think that'll be quite informative in the future for policy development. I know that on my own part, I can't always use all of the home-based service waiver because it's very restrictive, pretty much focused on salaries rather than on access to community activities. So I think the group is, you know, strong. They have about 800 members at this point. The membership is not necessarily as active as the Engage board, but the word is getting out, and I think that's a real positive. And I'll just keep you updated as things move on.
Thank you for that. That's very positive. Okay. Anti-stigma activities, and there is a decision memorandum associated with this.
So this is, I mean, everybody, y'all know what happened to the Ebertfest and the Expo. But earlier in the year when Barb Bresner was still living and we had some conversations with key people who had organized the Expo and who were also involved with the Ebertfest stuff, we got some pretty clear notes. And then we got some pretty clear direction from the boards too about things we can do while we're reinventing whatever is going to happen. So we are doing those things. So this report offers you some updates on the things that we are doing, that we have done, that were very obvious things to do. One that's obvious but not like super easy to do is update that book, that resource book. I mean, just as recently as last Wednesday, someone stopped by, a very sophisticated user of systems and resources, who said, oh, I love having a book because I can write in it. So like, all right, let's put a little bit of fire under me to figure out how we can update the book. So that is one thing that is not in progress, that I do have a contract ready to roll. And Kim Bowdry has reached out to some of the key people on how we can get reliable updates on each exhibitor and maybe even update the sponsors. So working on that, that's a much bigger scope issue because so many people are involved. But if I can get somebody to make the book, that'll be huge. And they can do other things. Like they can revive all our social media and fix the websites. There are many, many, many suggestions from people who've been involved with these two projects about the websites and social media. And it would be really great to be able to integrate that stuff. So that for 2026, I think I'm good. I think it's not easy, but I think there's a path. So I did provide a list of three conferences that we, as DDB and Mental Health Board staff, are involved with. Yesterday, Chandra and I attended a meeting of the final one, the Global Mental Health Conference. It's the second annual one. It's a virtual meeting with, maybe 9 spots for sessions, and we were reviewing proposals, and there was like no proposal that the group was willing to reject. So I don't know what they're going to do. I'm not the key planner, but like just this content just sounded so cool. So anyway, we're working on that. And then during that meeting and after, I started getting emails and texts from people talking to me about miniature film festivals that we might be able to get involved with this year, in fact, that same week. So, you know, I just feel like this is a community full of people with ideas. It's just not always easy to find a coordinator for those ideas. I haven't quite cracked that. But with what we know we can do, I wanted to ask for some direction. We've got some money in the 2027 budget that is like how we budgeted in the past when we had these two annual events. It's still in the budget, but without a whole lot of definition. So I'm kind of asking y'all to approve us continuing to plan things within those budgeted amounts, right? We may not ever get the sponsorships that we had 1 year where we had like $24,000 of revenue from sponsorships. I don't think that's ever going to happen again because that was so much Barb Bresner telling people you're going to give us money, and they did. And right, like she's very special. So one of the things I'm asking for is just your support in our continuing to explore these things. I know people would probably still most prefer a large in-person resource fair. That is still looks like the most elusive thing. But there's so many other interesting ideas on the way. I'd like to have the support to do them in 2027. So the other thing is, this was an idea that I think the group came up with right after Barb passed away, and then Kim and I have been talking about it. It's just to establish some kind of annual award in Barb Bresner's memory. We talked about a recognition to her family and kind of puzzled over that. Like they really don't need a plaque. Mm-hmm. Maybe they need kind words, and everybody can do that. But this might be fun, like to have some kind of recognition award. I'd love to put a big cash prize behind it. That is not something that's easy to do for either of these boards because of your unique authorities and restrictions, but maybe a sponsor would offer a cash prize. And my thought is that you could work on some kind of nomination process. What are the standards? Would we be giving one individual an award each year? These type of things could be worked out, but just to get board approval to start something like that, I thought was important and also possibly a nice thing to do toward the end of the meeting. So just these are the decisions I'm asking. Anyway.
One thing, I mean, maybe this is a selfish plug-in, but it would be that resource guidebook has been so helpful for people and providing resources. And so I know it's not exactly an easy task, but I was wondering, I mean, one thing we can maybe think about is, like, do we fund a project that we suddenly, on our county website, we have all the list of resources that are available so that you can point to somebody and say, hey, I mean, I point people to the expo website, but, you know, we could probably keep it current, you know.
And that is another thing that the group was feeling really strongly about, and we haven't been able to do it yet. This is a contract issue, so. But maybe we can. Maybe later today we'll have a contract with somebody who can help us do that. But thank you for saying that. And the county is happy to link to things like this. That we were just talking earlier today about. It's not easy for them to host things for us. But if we host, they can direct people to it. But the key that you're saying is it needs to be updated.
I just want to follow up with that. I handed out 25 of those books about 2 weeks ago at an event I was at, and people, I don't know how they had never seen them before, but they had never seen them before. So it was like a whole new group of people that were like, we had no idea these things were available for us in the community. So that book is really, really critical to have as something to get out in people's hands. Yeah.
This is a bit unrelated, but sorry. No, it was sort of come up in the Christopher guy who was meeting with all of us. And I was thinking, I mean, one gap would be is how many people in the pediatrics know about all these resources? What information do they have to give to patients? So I thought about that, and I'm trying to figure out who is the context that, and also the time to actually go do this. But I mean, that could be also another future direction if we want to make it more formalized.
Yeah, I'll just add on to that. I've been here since 2017, and we've never through the schools ever gotten a book. don't know, Diane, if have you gotten it through the schools? And I mean, yeah, or PEDS. So, yeah. The book is good. And I like to write in things, too. I think people do like to write in things. Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is the paper book is very, very useful, and it needs to be updated probably on an annual basis, and maybe funds for printing it on an annual basis. So that's something that we could think about funding.
This is exactly what I was thinking. In 2026, we have the money budgeted to do that. But we didn't have an event or anybody who could do the updates. So if I can pull this together quickly and if folks give us updates, I mean, we can only make the updates as accurate as the information we're provided, but we can try that. We can probably get it done in 2026 for release in 2027. So we'd be paying for it this year and then just do it again next winter. Like that sounds like it would be valuable to this community at this time to continue doing it, but we can. There is money in the budget in 2027, the budget you just approved, that could also be used that way. Okay.
Thank you for that, Lynn. The other kind of side of that is that electronic information, a website, links to very easy to use links to this same information, and I'm not savvy enough to say, you know, what's the technology and how much work is it to get that same information on a website versus in a printed book. But it sounds to me as a layperson that would be possible to do if somebody knew how to do that, and that would be the goal, to have the same information that's in the resource guide to be available with a link from the county website and as a paper. So those would be the two things that we would like to see happen.
Yeah.
Susan.
That just brought up a thought that, you know, if we can do that and have the link on the county website, then it would be really easy to notify the schools, Christy, Carl, to perhaps get them to advertise or provide the QR code to families that come in who have concerns about developmental delays or who are being evaluated for special ed services. Much easier than having to have a stack of booklets, which are really convenient to have as a recipient, but, you know, there's the whole issue of distribution.
Yeah.
Speaking as a clinic healthcare provider, stacks of papers always disappear, and we never can find them when we want them. Well, almost never.
Yeah.
So getting with the modern age, QR code, whatever.
Yeah. I like that idea a lot. And that would be amazing, right? Something simple, and it doesn't have to be a fancy website. It just needs to have links and, you know, organized maybe by topic. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and do a motion based on all of this discussion here. And I'm going to do the first one is to authorize the CCDDB, CCMHB, executive director and staff to plan and implement anti-stigma activities during 2027, not to exceed budgeted amounts.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion to approve establishing an annual recognition award in memory of Barbara Bresner with any associated costs not to exceed budgeted amounts.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. So that is it for our agenda items that we have to approve. And we can go on to successes and other agency information.
Okay. Hannah Sheets, Community Choices. I just wanted to share kind of something that happened this past month within Community Choices. We work with someone who doesn't have a lot of family support, works very hard to live independently in the community, works at the State Farm Center, but as we all know, in the summer, they don't have as many events, and so he doesn't have as much work. So I went to just check in on him. We check in periodically. Usually he lets me know when he needs something, but I went to check in with him, and he lives in a very tiny efficiency, in an apartment in a house, and went in, and he was had this like kind of flat air mattress there in his kitchen, which is also his bedroom. I was like, what's going on here? And he said, oh, my air mattress that I was sleeping on popped like a month ago. And I said, why didn't you tell me? He's like, well, I don't have the money to do it. And, you know, I like to do things myself. And so within 24 hours, we had three offers from our membership saying, hey, we have a twin bed. We have a bed frame. Does somebody, you know, does this person need a gift card from Walmart for bedding? Do they need towels? And just, it was really great to see the community, our membership, I guess, why we operate as a membership. We think that folks should be able to support each other. It's really great to see people come together and offer help to somebody that they didn't know who it was. I didn't share any of, you know, the information, just like, hey, this person needs this thing. And, yeah, it was just really great. And I like to think about our co-op as a family and think that they'll come through. But I was also just pleasantly surprised just how large of a response I got in such a short amount of time. So just wanted to share that with everybody.
Thank you. Don't all come up at once. Anybody else? All right. Thank you for your service, even if you're not telling us about successes this month or anything else. Thank you very much. County Board input? Do we have a County Board person here?
We do, yes. Hi, nothing to add today. Thank you. I will say, actually, however, I was happy to reelect Susan Fowler for in the next term on the Developmental Disabilities Board, or approve that appointment at the last board meeting. So thank you for agreeing to serve again, Susan.
Thank you for that input. Mental Health Board input.
They met last Wednesday, and they approved the same the relevant items that you approved. So we will be sharing the RFP. I think we can't really post it before August 21st. This is based on the newspaper's times. So I'll talk to Stephanie about when we can get that out. So the RFP is ready to roll. They also approved the budget changes and the anti-stigma items that you just approved. So I think they also, and this is because you might need to talk about this in a couple minutes, they decided not to have an August meeting. It's listed as tentative every year, and some years we end up having an August meeting and some years we don't, but they decided not to. That is not meant to influence you. It's just an update.
All right, well, I guess we can discuss upcoming meetings. Lynn, you and I didn't really discuss. Do we want to have the August meeting to resolve the ongoing situation with CU Autism Network, or do we want to kick that can further down the road?
So, yeah, next, unfortunately, I won't be able to be at the next meeting at the date.
Okay, Dr. Sharma will not be able to be here in August.
Yeah.
Susan?
I would really like Dr. Sharma to be here.
Yeah, I want to be here.
You know, we have already kicked this can down the road for almost a year.
More than a year.
more than a year. So I'm getting concerned that it will just deteriorate, disappear, and won't be a topic of conversation in the future if we don't wrestle with it.
It's festering. It is festering. I am fully aware of it. There was a request to discuss it when we were doing our funding discussion, right. And I was like, no. We needed the time to do that. And then we needed the time for some other things. And then they weren't available when we wanted them to be here. So
they also don't have any new information for you.
Yeah.
Which is, you were waiting for new information.
Yeah. I think we need to put it on the agenda and spend the requisite amount of time that we need to spend. And as your chair, I will take the prerogative of limiting some of the discussion if it seems repetitive. Mm-hmm. So, Lynn, we'll just get it on the agenda. Well, I don't think we need to do it in August because Dr. Sharma will not be here. Do you think we'd have time in September?
Good.
Okay. So I'm going to propose that we get it on the agenda for September.
Okay.
Kim?
So I thought there was discussion that, like, they don't really have any updated information for us. And so I guess I wouldn't want them to come and then just repeat the same information. So is there a way for us to say to them, like, give us updated information or don't come?
I've done that, and I just got a response a couple minutes ago about why there's not updated information, which in itself could be an update. But you know, and they're willing to come and talk to you whenever you're ready. But it doesn't provide any clarification to the big questions that we had. So that, I mean, I don't know, like, if you want to have a special meeting August 26th, we can have it be only that. We can absolutely fit it in September 23rd. You might have budget updates September 23rd, but probably not.
Well, I'm going to propose that we do it September 23rd and just take an August recess if Dr. Sharma won't be here and we don't have any other business that we need to conduct, Lynn, in August?
Nope.
Okay. Everybody have a good August, and we'll see you in September.
And
we can all communicate in between. People can talk to each other. We can't all talk to each other at the same time because the open meetings, we don't want to violate open meetings. But individuals can talk to Lynn, individuals can talk to each other, individuals can look at the information that's presented. Diane, did you have a question?
I did. I was just going to say, so I will not be part of the discussion about Quan as you guys sorted out. But coming into this, after the fact, you guys have been talking about it for several months before I joined the board. We have to find a solution. So if they don't have new information for us, what is the end goal? What is it that we want to achieve? And I think that's what we need to go back and say, here's how we end this. Here's how we get this resolved. And we just have to end it it is having an effect on the community at large.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there's several. Honestly, like in looking at it, there's several issues at play. There's not only the issue of a breach of contract with us, but there's also they might be in violation of IRS tax laws regarding nonprofits and disclosures. Like every other agency, DSC, everybody, like they do a wonderful job of like disclosing their financial information, which is a requirement because they get a lot of tax benefits. And so it's really, and I think the bar is like $50,000. If you make more than $50,000 over a 3-year period, something like that, you have to actually provide all those disclosures. So that's also another issue, which, I mean, it's not for us to necessarily take up that, but it could be a referral to the IRS to investigate further.
is the board okay with putting this item on the agenda for September 23 with the goal of getting all the relevant information as much as we possibly can? And we've had plenty of time to think about it. I've had time to think about it. Other people have time to think about it and come to the best decision we can, given that it's a difficult situation.
I'd just like to highlight decision, that we come to a decision, that it's just been going on far too long for us to say we're a board that values accountability. I'm not blaming any of us. It's been a really, really difficult, unusual situation, but the way it drags on just is really problematic, the lack of responsiveness.
Sounds like we'll be ready to make a decision in September and move on. You okay with that? All right. We do have a joint session scheduled September 30th, and that is definitely going to happen. I think the DD board has been very good about showing up for these joint sessions. That was one of the questions, you know, it's like,
oh,
that I got from the reviewers. How come people don't show up for the joint sessions? How good are they? And I was like, well, they're really good. And I'm sorry that some people can't put it into their schedule because they've been very helpful. But we do have a joint session on September 30th. So put it on your calendar.
It is also okay to attend those virtually.
Yeah, it's information only. You can Zoom in.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Lynn, I think we'll work with you on some of the information. Oh, Kim. Sorry. I'm sorry, Kim. We'll work with you. Get in.
Well, thank you all for your time this morning. Have a good rest of your day. Meeting is adjourned.
Recording stopped.